In Peter's second letter to the infant church, the early church, Peter warned the people that there would be scoffers, that's his word, scoffers, who would come among you. And the intent of these people would be to make fun of, to run down, to denigrate the idea that Jesus is coming back. They were basically saying to the church, yes, Jesus had his time, Jesus had his place, but Jesus died in Palestine. Jesus' bones lie in a tomb, and you need to move on. You need to move on. As I was thinking about that, I recently, not too long ago, I was in a Christian gathering, and there were a number of non-church, maybe non-believers among us. And one person asked another person who was a Christian in the group later, why do you keep talking about Jesus? Why do you keep talking about Jesus? Some people say it's time to move on. It's time to move on when it comes to Jesus. But Peter goes on to write there in 2 Peter, I believe it's in chapters 2 and 3, that these people deliberately forget, these scoffers deliberately forget that God visits his people, that Jesus is still with us. They forget that God visits his people. The Bible is the story of God's visitation, isn't it? I love the fact that we can go all the way back to the very first story, Adam and Eve. And in Genesis chapter 3, we're told that God walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day. I love that picture. I love that picture. The Creator came down and walked with his creation in the cool of the day, enjoying their fellowship. God visits his people. God visited Noah, he visited Abraham, he visited Moses and Jacob and others. God visited the patriarchs, God visited the prophets. God visits his people. The Bible tells us that he visits his people in a cloud and in a fire. And I love that story where God comes to the prophet Elijah in a still small voice. He speaks to our hearts. God visits. And this is, of course, what Advent is all about. We come together in these next weeks to celebrate the fact that God ultimately visited his people in Jesus Christ. God came among his creation. He came among his people in the person of Jesus. John puts it this way in John 1:14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. Just one sentence, but that really sums up Advent and Christmas. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. But we know that that's not even the end of the story, is it? We know that he's going to come again. I love the record in Acts chapter 1. Jesus has completed and fulfilled the mission on earth that God has sent him to do, which was, of course, to win our salvation on the cross, to die and to resurrect. And now he's ascending back to his Father. And as he ascends on a cloud before his disciples in Acts chapter 1 and verse 11, Jesus, the angels say to the perplexed disciples, as you see him going, you'll see him coming back. He's coming back. But even more than that, before he leaves, Jesus, in anticipation of the fact that his disciples would be kind of perplexed and nervous about the fact that he's left them, he says, I'm going to leave you the Holy Spirit. My presence, God's presence through the Holy Spirit, who will be with you and will be in you. And so he visits us every day. God visits his people. Jesus is among us. We keep talking about him because he's among us. And the purpose of the Advent season, as Roger beautifully pointed out a little earlier, is that this is a time of expectation and anticipation. A time to prepare our hearts once again for God to visit us in the truth of Christmas. We want to be ready. We want to be ready. And I want us to think about that for a little bit this morning. How do I wait for God? I believe that God visits. I believe that God comes among His people. We believe in the Christmas story. We believe that God came among us in the person of Jesus. We believe that God took flesh and made His dwelling among us. He visits. But how can I prepare my heart to receive the fullness of that truth? What can I do? What attitudes should I have? That's what Advent season is about. Learning to wait. Let's think about waiting a little bit this morning. How should we wait for God? I'm going to suggest three attitudes. There's other things I'm sure we could say. But three attitudes that will help us as we wait for God's powerful visitation through the wonderful truth of Christmas. As we wait for Him to visit us again and anew from day to day, from moment to moment. Let's wait, first of all, patiently. Patiently. Someone has wisely said that the hardest thing about waiting is the waiting. Right? We understand that, don't we? We just instinctively understand that. We don't like to wait. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is hard, especially in our day of the instantaneous. We want, we know what we want, and we want it now. I had TELUS, we get our internet service here in the church, and telephone through TELUS. And you know they rewired the community with fiber optics. And so they called up and said, we're going to come and rewire your church to give you faster internet. And I think I really wasn't unhappy with the old internet, you know. But you know what? We have faster internet now. Isn't that exciting? I don't know. We really needed it. But there was no way I was going to say no. Right? Because we just need it. I don't know why we need it, but we just need it. Because we want to go fast. It took 1.2 seconds to load the page. Now it just takes 0.7 seconds, Clive. I mean, it's amazing, right? We live in a day when we can't wait. Let's hurry up. Let's get it. We want it, and we want it now. Learning to be patient and patiently waiting on God. We'll see through the Advent season that that's really what the story of Advent, that is that time before His birth, is all about. Learning patience, being patient, waiting for God to come in His timing and for His reasons and His purpose. The psalmist in Psalm 37:7 said, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. Be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Do not fret. So the idea is, if you have patience, you're not going to worry. So patience must have something to do with faith. Patience must have something to do with trust. But we struggle with it. We want it, and we want it now. We struggle with patience. How can I be patient? Well, I'm happy to tell you, you probably know this, in Galatians chapter 5 and verses 22 and 23, Paul speaks about something he calls the fruit of the Spirit, which is the effect, the power of God's Holy Spirit in us. And one of those fruit, one of the things that God's presence in us engenders is patience. Which tells me that patience comes from God. He calls me to wait, and He will, as I submit to Him and are filled with Him, He will give me the patience to wait. Because patience, as I said, is trust. We can wait patiently if we trust that there's an answer, right? Have you ever been in a place where you waited and you didn't know if there was going to be an answer? Have you ever been at the ER? Never go to the ER if you can help it. But have you ever been to the emergency room and you sign in and they say, just sit over here, don't worry. And you wait and you wait and you wait and you wait. And you're so tempted to go up and say, you still have my name? You sure there's a doctor still here? You wait because you're losing trust. You're thinking maybe they've forgotten me. Maybe the doctor went home. But when you know that there is a resolution, there's an answer, there's an end point, you can wait. And so God gives us the patience to trust Him. To trust Him in our time of waiting. To wait with faith. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. to wait patiently because we trust Him. That comes, by the way, through a mature faith, through growing in our relationship through Him, with Him, getting to know Him. One of the most fascinating things for me, the story of Advent, the story of Christmas, the story that we remember here, you know, Jesus being born in the stable in Bethlehem, is how small the crowd is. Right? How many? There's not very many people there. And yet here is the King of the universe, Lord of lords, the Son of God, the Messiah, the Savior, being born, taking flesh, and coming among us. And that's all? That's all? I watched a concert of Michael Bublé last night. There were 60,000 people. And remember, Jesus was born in a city that was packed with people. Where were they? Have you ever wondered about that? Where were they? There hadn't been people walking up and down the street. There hadn't been people in the next stall. There hadn't been people there. Why did they miss it? Well, one of the reasons I think is this. Many of them have lost patience. The Israelites had been expecting for a long, long time that God would send a Messiah. But they'd lost patience. Maybe He's forgotten. Maybe He's got sidetracked. Some, called the Zealots in Jesus' day, decided to take matters into their own hands. Because one of the things that they were looking for God to deliver them from the power of the Roman oppressors of the day. And so they thought, if He's not going to show up, we'll do it for Him. We'll fix this for Him. Have you ever been tempted to do that with God? And if God isn't going to come, I'll just do this myself. I'll just do this myself. They lost patience. Don't lose patience with God. Wait on Him. Advent teaches us, wait on God with expectation. Wait on God with faith. Wait on God with trust. He's coming. He is coming. He is among us. We wait patiently, and we wait expectantly. When I was a kid, we never used the word pregnant for a woman. You know? I know I'm kind of dating myself, but when a woman began to get a little bit of a stomach, everybody whispered. You know, we don't do that today. It seems so old-fashioned to even say it. But everybody whispered, and nobody ever said, so-and-so is pregnant. They always said, she is expecting, exactly. So when I'm like 6 and 7 years old, I'm thinking, what are they expecting? You know? What's this all about, right? We're sophisticated like kids are today when I was 6 and 7 years old. They always use the word expecting. You never hear anybody say that. She's expecting anymore. But that's always the way it was when I was a kid. But I've often thought how that is exactly the right word. Because a new mother, a mother that's about to have a child, is not just waiting, she's expecting. She's expecting something. Something special. Something life-changing. She's expecting. And she's preparing herself in the light of that expectation. That's how we ought to wait for God. Don't just wait for Him. But wait for Him with expectation that something great is going to happen when He comes upon us. Paul tells us in Galatians 4:4, when the time was right, God sent His Son. When the time was right according to who? According to God, right? That's right. Why is the crowd so small? Why did people miss out? Well, they lost patience. And many had quit expecting anything. And their expectations were skewed. They were expecting a Messiah. They were expecting a Savior. But they sure weren't expecting Him to be born like this, were they? No one could have imagined that the King of the universe, the Savior of mankind, the Anointed One, the Messiah, would be born in a simple, dirty little stable in the small town called Bethlehem. Whenever I think of that, I wonder, how often have I missed God because He wasn't what I expected Him to be? How often in my life have I missed God's voice, God's will, God's leading, because it wasn't what I expected? I had already made up my mind what God was going to say, what he was going to do, who he was going to be. And when he didn't meet my expectations, I was deaf to him. I was blind to him. Wouldn't you have loved to have been in Bethlehem on that morning? But guess what? We probably would not be in the small crowd, would we? We'd be just going around on life like we always had. Why? Because maybe we knew about a Messiah. We probably went to synagogue and read the scriptures from Isaiah about the Messiah. But we really weren't expecting it. How many times have I missed God? Because I wasn't expecting him. He didn't come the way I thought he would, or say the things I thought he would, or do the things I thought he would, or be the kind of God I thought he would be. Therefore, I missed out. I missed out on his visitation. Wait for God patiently with trust. Wait with God expectantly. In other words, let him be who he is. Don't tell him who he is. Don't tell him what he's going to do or say, but let him be who he is. That's the kind of God you want, isn't it? We want God to be God in our lives. Wait patiently, wait expectantly, and thirdly, let's wait faithfully. Faithfully. You'll hear me say this many times. I've already said it a number of times over the years. Faith is a verb. Faith is a verb. Faith in the Bible. The faith that God engenders in our hearts by his gift. The faith that is a saving faith is a faith that is also a power to move us. It's an active force in our lives. So when we wait faithfully, it means we wait actively. It means that we wait actively. What does that mean? I think of Jesus. You remember when Jesus was like 12 years old and he got separated from his parents? And they went looking for him in a great panic, as any parent would do. And they eventually find that he's in the temple and he's teaching the wise men of the faith. And they're shocked and they say, "What are you doing? Why are you here?" And Jesus' response is, "I must be about my Father's business." But Jesus was waiting. He was waiting for his death. He was waiting for his resurrection, for his ascension. But he was waiting actively. He was about the Father's business. That's the way we need to wait. Being busy in the Lord's work. Busy doing God's will. Busy serving him and living for him every day of our lives. Have you ever noticed at your work that time goes faster if you're busy? You know, you go to work and you have a slow day, and it seems like every minute's an hour, right? But when you go to work and you've got all kinds of things to do, and you're busy, 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 before you know it, it's the end of the day. Let's take that principle and apply it to how we're waiting for God. Let's be busy. Be busy doing his work, his will, living out the life he's called you to. And you know what? The time will pass and he'll be here. He'll be here. Wait faithfully. Wait faithfully for the Lord. Paul says, "Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Peter, in the first chapter of this same letter that we made reference to in the beginning, talks about what we should be doing while we're waiting. He says in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 9, "Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ." Peter has just told us how to wait. Be growing in your faith. Advancing in your faith. Go getting stronger in your walk. More effective and productive in the Lord's work. Wait faithfully. And before you know it, he'll be here. We wait on the Lord. We wait on the Lord at this Advent season. We wait on him to come upon us. We wait on the Lord this morning as we come to this table, the communion table. As we come to the communion table this morning, we're reminded that our waiting produced great results. He came. He came and fulfilled the mission he was given, to live the life we couldn't live, to die the death we should have died, to resurrect to give us eternal life. We come to this table, these simple elements, the bread that represents his body, the cup that represents his blood, and are reminded that there's great value in waiting, trusting, knowing that God will come among us. We come to celebrate the production, the truth, the blessing of waiting on God. But we also come to the table with an expectation of waiting for the future. You remember that when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, which was part of the Last Supper, he said to his disciples, "Now this bread represents my body, and this cup represents my blood." But he went on to say, "I will not drink this cup with you again until I do so in my Father's kingdom." What he was telling the disciples, what he's telling you and me this morning, is that as we come to this table, we look back and we see how our waiting is blessed. But we also look forward to the kingdom, the fulfillment of the kingdom. That someday we will eat this together with God at the marriage supper of the Lamb, as John makes reference to it in Revelation. We wait. We wait patiently. We wait expectantly. We wait faithfully. Why do we wait? Because God visits his people. And God will visit us this morning. Even as we come to this table, he will visit us. Let us pray. Dear God, we thank you for your gracious visitation. And Lord, we pray that in this Advent season, these weeks leading up to the Feast of the Nativity, to the special day that we have chosen to set apart, to focus on your coming. Father, help us to learn patience. Help us to be expectant. Help us to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.